This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. And today's vital signs, ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is also called Lou Gehrig's disease. You don't hear about it often. Only about 1 in 100,000 people get it. But ALS made recent headlines with the death of playwright and actor Sam Shepard. Dr. Hamid Katawala, a neurologist with Texas Health Fort Worth, spoke with me about the latest research on ALS.
You know, when I think about ALS, the way I like to think about it is kind of going back to this connection between the brain and the muscle, okay? The voluntary connection that makes you, if you want to move your muscle, you tell your muscle move, and that connection. So when we break it down, we break it down further to the brain, to the spinal cord, and the spinal cord out to the muscle. So the brain to the spinal cord is known as the central nervous system, and a part of it, the upper motor neuron system. And from the spinal cord out to the muscle, that's known as the peripheral nervous system, the lower motor neuron system. Now, many diseases in neurology either have one or the other, but rarely is there a disease that has a combination of both. And that's what ALS is.
What does research now tell us about what causes that to happen?
We don't know. And that's the difficult aspect of all of this, is that there's ideas of local damage to the nerves, whether by cytotoxicity, but we don't really know specifically why it comes up, especially sporadically.
The playwright and actor Sam Shepard was white, male, 73. When he died, is that typical of ALS patients?
The age is typical. It does have a male predilection to it, but it's not predominant. It's actually very sporadic in terms of usually from the ages of 50 all the way up to 70, if not a little bit more, but mainly centered around 70. But gender and race don't play a role per se in this.
So is it difficult to diagnose ALS?
The thing about ALS is that the symptoms are very nonspecific. So I'll give you an example. I had a patient that came into the hospital once, and she had difficulty talking. And so when somebody comes in with kind of a sudden onset of neurological symptoms, our first concern is that they have a stroke, some damage in their brain. So we worked her up, we got imaging, we did all of that, and we couldn't find out what was wrong. Everything was normal on her. And so there was a thought, I mean, is this psychogenic? Is it related to stress? And she admitted as much that it possibly could be. So I see her in my clinic later on, and now she has difficulty talking, she has difficulty swallowing, her tongue has shrunk down, and it turned out she had ALS. So these symptoms, we think about them as, we focus kind of on the muscle. So what we see is that the muscles start to shrink. They can twitch. We have an increase in reflexes. And they also get this thing called spasticity, which is a type of stiffness. So many people have these individual things. We all have twitches. But it's a combination of these two things that are concerning for ALS. And so that's a clinical diagnosis that we see when we see a combination of these two things.
There's still no cure for ALS. Can you treat it?
There's two major paradigms that we focus on with ALS. The first one is with medication to prevent the wasting of that muscle, to prevent the progression of the disease. Just as important, if not more so, is a holistic approach to that person's life. So when a person has a deterioration of their symptoms, they have difficulty walking. So we bring them with physical therapy or muscle therapy. So they have difficulty in their daily lives doing things that we all take for granted. So we have occupational therapy work with them to develop paradigms, develop ways for them to get around those issues. They have problems breathing, so we have respiratory therapy. Additionally, there's issues with depression, psychological issues, social issues. So we have social workers, we have psychologists and psychiatrists work with them, as well as palliative care to help them towards their end-of-life care.
Is there anything promising in ongoing research about ALS?
Sure, there's new therapies out there. I mean, there's one that just came out this year, but it does the same. It's the same idea. It's about prolonging the quality of the person's life more than the quantity. And there's so far as I'm aware in terms of research, it's really focusing on ways to identify the disease early, markers looking for genes or areas where we can actually attack the disease.
What is the stumbling block, do you think, toward finding a cure?
I think it's like any neurological disease, unfortunately, I see in my practice, it's that these things, they occur sporadically. So we understand that it's secondary to cell damage and cytotoxicity of that cell. But what we don't understand is why that's happening. So I think that's where the stumbling block is, to understand that beginning, that starting point. And once we can get to that focus, we can go proceed from there.
Dr. Katawala, thank you for being with me.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.